Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday afternoon. This hour of the program will focus on the Wisconsin gubernatorial race. We looked at national election, various races, Senate races all over the country that may be very close to get a sense of what's going to happen next Tuesday nationally. And this hour, we're going to be asking you about the Wisconsin gubernatorial race. A new Marquette Law School poll just released a couple hours ago found that Republican Governor Scott Walker is leading Democratic challenger Mary Burke 50% to 43% among likely voters in the Wisconsin's gubernatorial race. Among registered voters, Walker receives 46% and Burke 45%, with 4% undecided. 1% they say they will vote for somebody else. Chuck Kornbach was at the press conference and will be with us just a moment to talk about how things broke down here, what the gender gap is, what independent voters are doing, what the issues are, what we think are the images of the candidates. We're going to be opening our phone lines, and this is probably the last chance you'll have to do this, to talk about this particular race. There are a lot of aspects. We're wondering what you think about this. President Obama's visit to Milwaukee, was that a good move on the part of Democrats? Was it a desperation move? Polling has shown a majority of people who support Mary Burke say they support her because they dislike Walker's policies or they like Republicans. Is that why you would vote for Mary Burke if you're voting for her? Would you be casting a vote against somebody or for somebody? Do you think she is a good candidate? How do you think Scott Walker has managed this promise to create 250,000 private sector jobs? Has Mary Burke established herself as the best candidate for creating jobs? Is that the primary issue in this campaign? What issues do you think have remained ignored during the election? And what about your chances of voting? Are you going to vote? I mean, it's okay if you're not going to vote. We're not going to judge you or get mad at you. We just want to know what you're thinking before the election. So here's our phone number, 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Email is talk at WPR.org. And our Facebook page is the Kathleen Dunn Show. All you political people, let's just flood the phone lines because we want to hear from many of you this hour as we analyze this race. Chuck Kornbach, as I said, was at the press briefing for the new Marquette Law School poll. And he joins us now, having just returned from an analysis of that poll. And we thank Chuck very much for being with us. Hi, Chuck.
Good afternoon, Kathleen.
Yeah, we're hearing you.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Chuck. We're wondering about the parts of the poll that we didn't hear very much about. This is really a significant change in terms of the likely voters for Governor Scott Walker. Up 7 points is quite different than the poll that took place a couple weeks ago. How did they explain the difference in that, Chuck?
Well, there were three main things that Charles Franklin, the Marquette University professor and pollster, alluded to or talked about, that there's more Republicans in this poll that are saying that have upped to being likely voters than there have been Democrats saying that. There, earlier in the summer, the likely voters were hotter among the Democrats. Now, Republicans are getting up to, well, they say 93% of them will vote or have voted or will vote next Tuesday. 93%, Charles Franklin says, might be a little high, but that's what the figure is. So there's this intensity. Governor Walker on the campaign trail has gone around to his turnout the vote centers and said, listen, don't sit on your hands. This is not over. This is a close race. We need you to come out and vote. Some of that message may be getting through. Of course, some of the message may be getting through on television as well. But it's right now, this intensity level is a bit higher, it seems, according to Professor Franklin, for Republicans. Two other factors, as the independent voters, after the poll 2 weeks ago showed things were much closer, now going back more in the Walker camp. And the final main factor, apparently, is the gender gap is back in evidence. Again, things were much closer 2 weeks ago. Now Governor Walker doing much better among men. And Mary Burke still leads among women, but not as much as Walker leads among men. So These are all things that can contribute to what, at least in the likely voters poll, is likely voter numbers is 7% difference.
Yeah. And when you look at the issues, I know there was a looking at minimum wage, looking at various issues, and where people in the state of Wisconsin stand on those issues. What did you determine, and did you find did they find that the candidates were addressing those issues in their campaign? They were the major issues, or were there other issues that they that were not pertinent to what voters wanted?
Well, you know, the polls along the Marquette poll all along has suggested that people think the state is headed in the right direction, and that the governor has a slightly positive favorability rating. Those numbers, again, are coming through, and they may be helping carry the day, at least among likely voters, for Governor Walker. And certainly his opposition to parts of the Affordable Care Act, voters apparently overall don't like that. All they want the state to take more federal money to run things. So there's some anomalies there. And Walker is, you know, apparently against state a popular opinion on things like the minimum wage. The poll today out said most people support hiking the minimum wage, and even 30% of Republicans do. The governor does not support an increase in the minimum wage. The abortion issue, he's against, slightly against popular opinion on that. And there's one or two other things where Walker is fighting the tide, but it seems the jobs front, or perhaps the he can get things done front, where he's way ahead of Burke on that, is helping him, certainly.
Mm-hmm. And this is the final poll now before the election, right? There will not be another poll.
Well, at least from Marquette University, I don't know if other polls are coming out. And certainly we believe that the candidates have been doing their own polling. I don't know how frequently, but those candidates' polls may say something different that we haven't heard yet.
Obviously, the Democrats have been saying it's true on both sides, but the Democrats need a large turnout in order for Mary Burke to have a chance in the state, bringing the president in yesterday night, as it turned out to be, instead of late afternoon. I believe you were there as well. Are there any indications as to whether or not that was a successful strategy? Are more people voting today from the black community in the city as a result of his visit?
Well, one thing we should say is this poll was done last Thursday through Sunday, so part of the poll was done before Bill Clinton came in for Mary Burke, and about 900 people attended the Clinton event, and certainly some of them could have been affected by what happened there. And certainly all of the polling in this Marquette poll was done before President Obama came in to speak last night. So, again, there could be a bump for Burke from those two visits that aren't fully or at all reflected in this poll. And certainly in talking to voters at those two events now, you know, more likely to be Democrats and
sure,
to be interested certainly in politics at the events. But they were saying that, you know, we're engaged. We know some people that maybe aren't yet. One woman told me last night, an African-American woman, said, "I'm still worried about people under 30 grasping the importance of this race." So that's, you know, there's going to be more outreach to people under 30 and some other folks that have maybe not been all that engaged. And we're going to see, I think, still an intensity over the next few days. Mary Burke, I believe, is up in Green Bay today on campus, or was, at the UW-Green Bay. Scott Walker is traveling with Paul Ryan much of the day to events in western Wisconsin. So there's going to be still a sprint. I don't think either candidate can really take things for granted just yet, that this likely gap is locked in. And even Professor Franklin made it quite clear that, listen, if everybody that's registered to vote voted, things would be quite close. Again, the number there at registered voters in the poll, Walker 46, Burke 45. You know, again, it's very unlikely that every registered voter would actually vote, but that's going to be the goal, I think, of the Burke campaign, is to get that number up out of the registered and into the likelies as much as possible, or make sure that the people who have said they're likely to vote actually do vote, because mm-hmm. there's still, it's obviously a self-reporting sort of factor. And there may be some people that say, oh, yes, yes, I'll be there, but something comes up and they aren't.
Yeah. When you heard, and we heard this a lot during President Obama, particularly the 2008 race and the subsequent race, that the Democrats had a really terrific ground game. And the guest the first hour was talking about the great ground game in Iowa, which may influence the Senate race there. Can you give us an assessment of what that means in Wisconsin? Did the Republicans have a good ground game? What does that mean to the Democrats? What does that mean?
Well, I think it's Professor Franklin today was saying that both sides have gotten better at identifying voters and who they need to reach out to and get. And certainly at the Republican, there's a large number of phone banking going on and some door-to-door things. I've been also at some Democratic events, which are door-to-door, but I think they also have phone banks as well. So it's phones, it's doors. It's mailing. My household has received many pieces of mail from each side.
Have you? I haven't had any.
Oh, well.
But boy, have I had the phone calls from both sides.
Oh, have you? Mm-hmm. So maybe they figure that certain neighborhoods are better, more likely to respond to mail or versus phone. Mm-hmm. So there are things like that that are going on. But I think it is true that both sides have gotten better, and this very small number. You know, we're down to a very small number of undecideds in this race, but there are still some out there. So there's going to be reach out, outreach to them, and also to the people that are the registered and maybe not quite likely yet, or even the likelies to make sure they get there to the polls.
Oh, if you only knew who those undecideds were, all the presents you could give them or take them out to dinner. Just kidding, but you know,
well,
they could be wooed.
You know, and there's anecdotal information that people do know
who they are. Really?
Well, just at the family level or at the social circle level. I know people that are undecided, and if word of mouth gets around to the right people, you know.
Right.
Somebody's waiting with a van to take them to the polls. So,
I'm sure.
So, you know, some of that is going on. Oh, I know this person who's undecided. Help! How can we get that person to the polls? It's very labor intensive, and
right.
Whether it really makes a difference. But, you know, I think the president was saying, reminding folks yesterday that in 2010, the difference between Walker and Barrett was about 10 votes per ward.
I heard that,
right?
Yeah.
And so, again, and wards are a few thousand, I think, typically. And so that does – it does little things do matter.
Did he have a big crowd yesterday?
The number the city of Milwaukee provided and the Obama and Burke campaigns provided was around 3,500 in North Division High School. Most it appeared to be in the gymnasium where the candidate was, but there was also an overflow room to which the president and Mary Burke briefly visited and made brief comments. But it was a pretty big crowd, and a lot of the room in the gymnasium was taken up for media risers and mm-hmm. so on. But there was there were people sitting, there were people standing up in the balcony down below. It was a pretty large number of folks in there.
All right. Thanks, Chuck, very much for being with us. Chuck Kornbach, who was he was at the event yesterday. He's been covering politics along with a number of other issues, but covering politics significantly because we're so close to the midterm election. And he just returned from the Marquette Law School poll, a briefing for the press that finds that Governor Scott Walker is leading Mary Burke in Wisconsin's gubernatorial race among likely voters 50% to 43%. All right, this is a chance for you now to join our conversation. It's 6 days before the election. You won't have another chance on our show to discuss the issues that you feel are important to you. What will have you go to the polls next Tuesday? Maybe you've decided that you don't want to vote in this election and can express your thoughts about that. Is it an election where you look at what both candidates have centered on? Jobs and the economy certainly have been the main focal points for both campaigns, but are there other issues that will help you decide who you're going to vote for? Are there some issues, do you think, that nobody's talked about and they should have? We're going to welcome phone calls, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, email talk at WPR.org, Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're on Twitter as well, at K Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, let's go to your phone calls, starting with Adam in Manitowoc. Hi, Adam.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, how are you?
Good. Hey, I just wanted to mention, I'm really hoping to see a record number of independent votes this time around. I think that the dynamics of the Republican-Democratic, two-party system has basically led to a power structure in our government that is devoid of any values or ethical decisions. So I believe that, you know, basically large number of independent votes would mean that our country is moving in the right direction. And I just wanted to comment on that.
Are you an independent voter?
Yes, ma'am.
And do you want to talk about how where your sympathies lie and if they're subject to change in the next 6 days?
Well, I guess, to be honest, I mean, if I absolutely had to, I would say that, I'd be in favor of Mary Burke. Not that I'm necessarily a liberal. I'm kind of a middle-of-the-road guy. But I believe that Scott Walker is such a hardliner for the Republican Party. He doesn't leave any kind of room for negotiation. He represents to me the kind of people that, like in our legislature, won't reach across the aisle, negotiate, and has a lot to do with some of the issues that cause our legislature to be basically in a lock.
All right.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. It's your time.
Yeah, so I believe, you know, I guess I'd like to see Mary Burke win, but I, to be honest, I'd rather see an independent win, but, I'm just hoping to see a large number of independent votes out there.
Thank you, Adam, very much for your call. Jane in North Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi there.
Hi, Jane.
I just wanted to add my votes to the little poll here. We have two senior in this household who have already voted for Mary Burke for the purpose of returning honesty and clear thinking and action to Wisconsin politics. Also, we have not received any political phone calls or mail, but we sure have gotten a lot of emails.
Oh, have you? See,
yes,
I didn't get any of those.
We have been inundated with the emails.
Interesting.
At any rate, we have already cast our votes for Mary Burke.
And what did you think of the president coming to Milwaukee yesterday? Was that a good strategy or not?
I don't really have any feelings one way or the other about that because they're all touting everybody that they possibly can and bringing them in, and that really doesn't influence us. We're more influenced by the issues at hand. So we don't, that was kind of a non-issue for us.
And what issues were most important for you?
Education, rights of women, rights of the individual.
All right. Thank you so much, Jane, for your call.
You're welcome.
Scott in La Crosse. Hey, Scott.
Hi, Scott. I can't leave. God, I haven't had a long day. I hope you don't mind, but I'd like to segue back to your previous guest for just one quick minute.
All right.
First of all, the last caller, Brian, I think he was actually not referring to political ads, but actually corporate ads, because we've seen them over here, too, in La Crosse.
Mm-hmm.
And what they are is they're, Coke Industries. You maybe haven't heard of us, but we're a major employer. We're providing all these jobs, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, I haven't seen those.
Yeah, and my running assumption on this, Kathleen, was that they have been stung by all the notoriety and criticism they've picked up over the course of this election and decided, to come out and say, hey, we're not political operatives. We're a good company that employs a lot of you folks, and I don't recall whether they mentioned Wisconsin in particular. It might just be something like in our region or one of those kind of things. And the other item that I wanted to follow up, I was out mowing listening on my headphones, so I didn't get a chance to call in and talk to her. But when she was talking about maybe the Republicans getting control of both houses.
Mm-hmm.
And I have heard the same thing, that it might be an opportunity for Obama to get things done, because right now, if the Senate doesn't get something through, both houses. They can say, well, so there's Republicans in the House, and the House can say the same. It's those Democrats in the, that have the Senate. But if the Republicans have both houses, then, and they have, by the way, a lot of people in that body who want to be the next president, they don't want to come out looking like, they would not want to come out looking like a do-nothing Congress that the Democrats could run against. And those people interested in being like, Rand Paul or Ted Cruz wouldn't want to be looking like senators who couldn't get any legislation passed. Therefore, if they're ineffectual as a senator, why would they be any good as a president?
Hmm.
As far as Wisconsin goes, I've already voted, and I vote I'm just a Democrat.
You're a Democrat.
No other excuse. I just vote Democratic.
All right, Scott.
My mom always said, I'm a Democrat because I think they probably do more for regular people than the other side. But when it comes right down to it, if you really look hard, they're both feeding at the same trough.
Thank you, Scott, for the call.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Thanks.
Love the program.
Thank you. Bye. 800-486-8655 is our number. Paul in Cedarburg. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen. Thank you for taking my call. I voted also, but I want to raise an issue that I don't think has been addressed yet in the campaign. I think we have to give Scott Walker credit. He knows how to campaign. He knows how to win elections. But does he know how to govern? And in particular, I haven't seen attention focused on his new jobs agency. Hasn't he had like four or five different heads of that agency, and haven't some of them left under scandal?
All right, we'll just leave that out there because I'm not here to answer certain political questions. I just want to know what you're thinking. So that is an issue that will be of concern to you. And let me ask you.
Well, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And what about the, obviously, both campaigns have taken sets of numbers and given them wildly different interpretations. Is jobs, creation of jobs, the economy in the state of Wisconsin deserving of being the number one issue in this state, Paul?
Oh, boy, that's a tough one. I remember back when Walker and Barrett were campaigning, and initially I think Walker dismissed the idea that the governor has any role to play. And then he comes out with this promise of 250,000 jobs. And I think there are polls that show that people don't really think government plays a significant role. So I don't know. They'll say that's the main issue, but I don't know if that's what they vote on.
Hmm. What will you vote on?
Well, I voted.
You voted, yeah.
I'm an independent. I do think Mary Burke will do better. I don't want to see one-party government in the state anymore. I agree with the previous caller that Walker is a hardliner, not the kind of Republican that I can support. So I just have not been impressed with his governing. He broke how many different self-made promises on the casino issue? There were no deadlines imposed. He self-imposed deadlines that he failed to meet.
All right, Paul, thanks very much for your call. We're talking about the gubernatorial race today, the final Marquette University poll on this race. Before the election, and some significant findings that a week away from the midterm, less than that, among likely voters, Scott Walker leads 50-43%. Among registered voters, Scott Walker leading Mary Burke by 1 point, 46%-45%. This is an interesting finding. They looked at issues and the liberal view, conservative view of certain issues, and whether or not people agreed or disagreed. I think some of these are very interesting from the poll. One is that 50% say the limitations on unions due to Act 10 should be retained. 43% say collective bargaining should be restored for public employees. That's a fascinating finding. 60% support requiring a photo ID to vote. 36% opposed to that. 60% say the state should accept federal funds to expand Medicaid coverage. 25% say it should reject that expansion. 59% say the state should increase support to K-12 schools. 35% say current funding is sufficient. 57% supporting increasing the minimum wage. 39% opposing it, 49% supporting expanding private school vouchers statewide, with 44% opposed. It's worth looking at the details of this poll because it gives you a fuller sense of the electorate. And we're trying to get a sense of the electorate this hour by finding out about what issue or issues will move you to the polls. I think almost everybody's called has voted already. I always wait till election day. Maybe that's not a good idea, but you got the routine. You got the tradition, and it's hard to break it. So that's what we're asking you, and here's how you reach us, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, email talk at WPR.org, Facebook page, the Kathleen Dunn Show, Twitter at K Dunn Show, Val in Waupaca. Hi, Val.
Hi, Kathleen. Huge fan. Listen to you every day.
Thanks.
Great show as always.
Thanks, Val.
I'm wondering if there's a generation gap that I'm experiencing with having to do a little damage control with some friends and colleagues in their 40s. I'm 61 now, so I approach it a little differently. And they're just real tired of the dog and pony show of the ads. And so they're simply just saying, I don't know. I don't even think I want to vote. Hmm. Everybody just sounds pretty fake. Nobody's talking about issues. Nothing is really relating to me. They're so busy poking stabs at each other that they're tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting, I'm having to run damage control and say, you need to vote.
You need to vote. And what issues do you think are front and center for this, in your mind, and for the state of Wisconsin, Val?
Well, I think it's pretty much the same thing. These are young families with young teenage children, so they're concerned with education, they're concerned with their job, they're concerned with retraining. Pretty much what everybody is saying is the economy's stupid in many ways, but education also. And they're hearing nothing but rhetoric. They've got rhetoric coming out of their ears. I do too.
Yeah.
I
Thank you.
We need some meat and potatoes.
Thank you, Val. Thanks for the call. We go to
Great show.
Thanks, Pat and Nina. Hi, Pat.
Hello. I wondered if apparently your screener heard this, but I haven't heard anybody else talking about the fact that Mary Burke, it turns out, was fired at Trek. Apparently, she was in charge of the European sales, and she was botching that, and her father called her back and made her apologize to, I think it was 32 executives who said they were going to quit if she didn't resign, if they didn't fire her. So her brother fired her.
Where did you hear this, Pat?
Pardon?
Where did you hear this?
This morning.
On a radio station?
Yes.
Yeah.
It comes from, and I think his name was John Coleman or something like that. He was the HR person at Trek for 12 years, and he's given this information to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, but they sat on it. They didn't do anything with it.
Yeah. Well, the story has not been fleshed out. I was listening for a little while to the same radio station, and Mary Burke has responded to this report that she was fired from Trek and said it's ridiculous. She said the report claiming she was fired from her family's business is a desperate attempt by Republicans to undermine my credibility. She said she was speaking with the Press Gazette media's editorial board today. She said, I read the report. It's ridiculous. Frankly, we're in the last 6 days of the election, and I think it's a desperate attempt to undermine my credibility based on absolutely no evidence at all. So we will see if anybody picks up this story or carries it on further. But, you know, before an election, if you got story, it's better to know what the facts are rather than to spread innuendo or whatever your political viewpoint happens to be. If there's a story there, then investigate it and do the story and then talk about it. So that's the latest on that. But we are talking about what we know about both candidates and what issues, as we are 6 days before the election, will move you to the polls. Maybe some of you decided not to vote. Not in this audience. No, I'm sure most of you will vote. But maybe some of you decided, don't really care about it. So We'd like to hear from you. 800-486-8655. Email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. Tim in Ladysmith. Hi, Tim.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm going to be voting for Scott Walker. I think the state is heading in the right directions economically. That's not the top issue I vote on. I like the fact that he's pro-life, conservative values. I guess I'd like to also address the issue. You know, campaign ads to me are, I wish they would outlaw them. They don't move me at all. I think campaign ads are for people that are too lazy to really or have no convictions. I'm always astounded by the non-committed voter and people that don't want to vote. To me, that's civic. It's just irresponsible. And for people to not be informed in this day and age about candidates and what they stand for, it's just inexcusable. And for people to say, well, I don't like either party, so I'm not going to vote. People have bled and died for the right to vote. It's absolutely appalling that people are that irresponsible in America to not vote. So that's my two bits.
Yeah, well, I share your opinion on that. I just think it's a, you're a member of a democracy, and it's one of the things that comes with the territory, and a wonderful thing to come with the territory is to be able to vote. I can't imagine not voting. I just can't imagine it. So we agree on that. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Tim was talking about, and this is borne out in the poll, too, 51% of registered voters in Wisconsin say the state is headed in the right direction. 44% say that it is off on the wrong track. When asking about jobs, 13% said the state is creating jobs faster than other states. 38% said it's doing about the same. 42% say Wisconsin is lagging behind other states. And among likely voters, 14% say that it is creating jobs faster, 32% the same, and 42% say it is lagging behind. Since January, those saying the state is lagging in job creation has varied between 40 and 48% of registered voters. All right, Tim, thanks very much for the call. Let's go next to Jean in Eau Claire. Hi, Jean.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have not voted yet. I am independent, and I'm voting for Mary Burke. And the reason being is I'm voting for someone who will work for Wisconsinites. I believe that the divide and conquer mentality is destroying our state. We also need to get the big money out of politics. The Koch brothers need to go home and stay the heck out of Wisconsin instead of our politics. We need money that's to be paid in taxes by these huge corporations instead of trying to put people in office to run our states. They need to get that money out of there, put it back in tax money, to pay for our streets and roads.
Thank you, Jean, very much for your call. And let's go to Pat in Green Bay. Hi, Pat.
Beth, you mean?
Oh, Beth.
Yes.
Hi, Beth.
Hi. Yes, hi. I will also be voting on Tuesday, and I will be voting for Mary Burke. And the reason is the more I find out about Scott Walker, the more I just don't understand how anyone can, say, as they say, stand with him. You know, just on Sunday, you had a show about him, and now he has his blackball list. If you sign that petition to recall him, your career is done if you wanted to get into politics, at least on the Republican side. And then with all the problems with his age and the arrest and the corruption, I just can't see how anyone can support him.
So are you conducting an anti-Walker vote or a pro-Burke vote?
Pro-Mary Burke, definitely pro. But because I do believe that she'll be able to work with people, and I believe that she has our interests at heart. But what I'm saying is that the people that are, supposedly standing with Walker, how can they when they know all this about him?
Thank you very much for your call, Pat. And what's happening this hour is we're giving you a chance. The Marquette University Law School poll just came out. It found that the Governor Scott Walker is leading Mary Burke in the Wisconsin gubernatorial race among likely voters, 50% to 43%. Among registered voters, Walker receiving 46% and Burke 45%. So we thought that we would – actually, we had a guest cancel right before we were going to do the show today. So we thought, well, this would be a good thing to do. It's close to the – election. And so we thought we would ask you, after we got the details of the poll, what issues are making you to go to the polls? Or maybe you think that it's all a bunch of hooey and you're not going to the polls, and you can call and tell us why you're not going too. 800-486-8655 is the number. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Let's read some messages that have come in. Chris from the Wisconsin Dells said that both political parties are offering voters transportation to the polls on Election Day. Just call the party office to arrange for a ride. This email, I think the issue that needs to be addressed is the money in politics. And what is it, $16 million, if not more? Isn't that incredible in Wisconsin? $16 million. Oh. Until there's a new amendment that takes the money out of politics, there really will not be any change and the parties will not talk to each other. Thank you for that email. And Joanne sent us this tweet. The issue that has not been covered adequately is the environment, the environmental impact of mining, the overuse of water, and the destruction of wetlands. Back to phone calls, and we go next to Cindy in Appleton. Hi, Cindy.
Hello.
Hi.
Well, I am not going to be voting for Scott Walker because my big issue, and I'm not a one-issue voter, but this is my big issue, and that is what the last person just tweeted, was the environment. Mm. Scott Walker has the worst environmental record of any governor in the history of Wisconsin, and in the 3 years he's been governor, he's never once made mention of Earth Day or done any kind of a celebration for Earth Day, and I really don't think he cares if Wisconsin gets ripped to shreds as long as they can make some money.
Well, what
and
about
as
Mary?
As the Senate issue, go ahead.
What about Mary Burke? Do you think she's made an issue of the environment?
Well, not enough to my liking, but as far as I'm concerned, she is by far the lesser of two evils.
Okay.
And I wanted to address the Senate race as well because everyone's talking about the Senate being taken over by Republicans, which I think is really a shame. Because something like 80% of the people believe in global warming, climate change, what you want to call it. Yet if they put the Republicans in who are completely anti-global warming, issue orientated, where is another 2 years of nothing going to get us as far as that goes?
You are not a happy,
so those are my
happy
comments.
Person, Cindy, are you? Okay, thank you. Thanks very much for your call. Let's go next to Rich in Rhinelander. Hi, Rich.
Hi, Kathleen. I, for one, was overjoyed when the court decision came down saying that the voter ID law could not be enforced in Wisconsin. And I do not need to announce my preference for a candidate or to talk about that. But my wish that everybody would vote. I think Wisconsin is better than average in terms of voter turnout. And I would like to see in this election that we set a record for midterm election turnout, that everybody gets out and votes, because I think a phony impediment, a policy like voter ID, was removed. And I think it's time to prove, hey, we want to vote. It's kind of a sacred right as far as I'm concerned.
Well, Rich, that was an interesting, that was asked in the Marquette University poll that we're talking about. I'm wondering what you think about this. 60% of the respondents did support requiring a photo ID to vote. 36% opposed. What do you make of that?
Well, you know, if we're going to require photo ID, then we better be sure that everybody who is an eligible voter in the state has an extremely easy time of getting a photo ID. That's all I care about. And photo IDs, then, in that case, should be virtually free. I don't favor photo IDs for voting, but if people are going to say, you really need this in order to vote, then the policy that goes along with it is, hey, we're going to make sure you have that photo ID because nothing should stand in the way of you and your vote in the polling place.
Thanks, Rich. Nice to hear from you. Bye. Terry in Madison. Hi.
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 Yeah, I don't like either one of the candidates. None of them have stopped and said, this is what I believe in. This is what I stand for. They're all too busy bashing each other, so you have no idea really what they stand for or how they believe on any subject or any topic. If they would take the money that they are spending bashing each other and put it towards improving Wisconsin, they could get a whole lot more accomplished.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to vote? So, are you going to vote, Terry?
I really don't know.
Really?
I really don't know, because right now I would like a category that says none of the above are qualified.
Hmm.
And that's how I feel.
All right.
I think that if you really truly want to vote, you should show your ID. If you want to get in, if you open up a checking account, you have to show ID. If you want to open up any kind of an account, you have to show ID. If you want to get electrical service, put your name. You need to prove them who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So why are you so? Why are people so afraid of? Oh gosh, I got to show my ID to vote.
All right, Terry.
What's the big deal?
All right. Thank you. Thanks very much for your call.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Another interesting finding from the poll asked if cares about people like you. 47% said that Mary Burke does. 41% says does not. 12% said they didn't know. For Scott Walker, 46% said yes, cares about you. 50% said does not. 3% said they do not know. And in terms of getting things done, 42% of registered voters said this describes Mary Burke. 41% said it does not. For Walker, 63% of registered voters say he is someone who's able to get things done. 33% disagree. Let's go next. Terry, thanks very much for the call. And let's go to Jim in Milwaukee. Hi.
Oh, hi. Thanks. I was just saying that my undergraduate students and I have been studying the debates between Walker and Burke and really enjoying it. And I want to echo that everyone go to the polls, please. And a personal sentiment of mine and of my students is this idea about the minimum wage and Walker's assertion that minimum wage jobs aren't meant to be, well, they're meant to be stepping stones, quote unquote, when the reality is exactly the opposite. There's a large number of people in our state who are in minimum wage jobs, work one or two full-time jobs to support their families. And I think it's incredibly offensive to say to these people that, gee, you know, this really is a stepping stone for you instead of how you should be earning a living. I find that incredible, Kathleen.
Jim, thank you very much for your call. A couple more messages that have come in. Bob from Verona sent us an email. For a long time, I could decide only to vote against Mr. Walker, but was glad finally to conclude that I was ready to vote for Ms. Burke. I did not think the Democrats did a good job picking a candidate this year, but after research, including hearing President Obama in Milwaukee, I believe she would be an excellent governor for our state. Adam, though, in La Crosse said, I'm becoming totally apathetic to the two-party system. The problem is I am one of the people who pays attention to politics, and I'm beginning to just not care anymore because almost nothing good ever happens. And Joe has this comment on Facebook. I'd like to know why no one seems to understand why divisiveness is so bad for Wisconsin. It's a tool used by politicians to divide and conquer using fear tactics and hatred of the other guy. But all it accomplishes is gridlock and nothing gets done. We're welcoming your phone calls, and let's go next to Matt in Richmond. Hi, Matt.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have decided to vote for Mary Burke. I'm a lifelong Democrat. I did at one time vote for Governor Thompson. So it's not as if I not pay attention to what people go for. But with Governor Walker, what's really turned me off to even considering him, other than the collective bargaining issue, that's another topic, is when the some of the naughty banks on Wall Street were taken to court by the government and were fined billions of dollars and had to give millions back to the states. And the states were supposed to facilitate some of that money to people whose mortgages were underwater or needed help. Governor Scott Walker kept a portion of that used to help balance the so-called budget, a budget that, frankly, isn't balanced. You put it on bonds, put the debt out there longer. So to me, morally and ethically, as a business owner, hearing someone who's supposedly running our state saying that, well, I'm balancing our budget. If I balance my business check by putting everything on credit years down the road, I would go bankrupt. And indeed, just like what happened after Governor Thompson left, the same thing will happen when Governor Walker leaves, whether it's by Mary Burke winning or him deciding to run for president in a couple of years. He's going to leave our state in a bankrupt situation. A Democrat's going to take over, like former Governor Doyle, and then be blamed for all the high tax we have to go back through again just to correct the problem. Same thing President Obama is having to go through right now. That's really disheartening from our so-called leader of our state.
Thank you very much for your thoughts, Matt, and glad you could express them here. Carl in Mexico, hi.
Hello?
Hi, Carl.
Yeah, I wanted to pipe in on a couple of things that the previous callers had just said here. I think Rich was mentioning caller ID. Caller ID in itself is not bad. I'm actually an absentee voter from Mexico, and in Mexico, they actually have a department of the government that gets out the vote. They say, get yourself registered. Don't let your ID expire. Get it down there. And then, let's see, when 2000, when Fox was elected, I actually saw people dragging themselves to the polls to vote because hey, I got my ID. I'm going to vote. Hey, and you can hardly bother a lot of people in the U.S. to vote. That's bad. That's bad. Yeah, so in itself, it's not bad. But you got to make sure it's available to everybody to be have that voter ID. And then also, now I want to leave you with a suggestion. Some have already piped in on this, is that everybody go vote. But before you go vote, make sure you got your facts. Get your facts first to be an informed voter. Otherwise, you can make it worse. But go and vote. Otherwise, you're leaving the decision to someone else. Let somebody else make your decision. Oh, my gosh, what a thought.
Oh, my gosh, I know.
Finally,
yeah.
Don't make the mistake that they made the last election. They were unsatisfied voters, and what did they do? They voted in the same people that they were unsatisfied with. Don't do that again. That's it, sir, ma'am.
Thank you, Carl. Thanks very much for the call. Cassandra in La Crosse, hi.
Hi. I'm calling because I think I represent a bit of a different demographic. I'm in my mid to early 20s, and I am the person, you know, that works. I do make a little more than minimum wage, but not much. I'm the breadwinner. And I think for me, the reason why Mary Burke is a good decision is for a couple of different reasons. One, she said she would consider increasing the minimum wage, which to me sounds like a great idea, especially considering what happened recently in the SeaTac area, where they increased the minimum wage up to $15 an hour. Many employers were concerned that they were going to have to lay people off, and it turned out that they ended up growing their businesses. So I think that's going to help not only the working person, but our community in general. Also, for me, the fact that Mr. Walker is so pro-life is a problem for me. I personally have a different viewpoint. I am adopted, and to me, pro-choice is very important. I guess it's a little weird coming from someone who is adopted, but I don't know about you, but I don't remember being conceived or anything like that. You know, I feel it's a woman's right to make the decision. So for me, Mary Burke would be the decision I would make.
Thank you so much, Cassandra, for your call. And I'm sorry. All right, quickly. You got 15 seconds, Megan. Can you do it?
Sure, I can be quick. What I just wanted to say is there's more than two candidates. Unfortunately, money buys elections, and the other candidates who maybe they're better, I think they are, don't necessarily get their voice heard, and people don't know about them. So I think we should model more like France, where they can't put money in elections, money can't buy elections, and make sure you research all the candidates so that, you know, you're voting for who you really believe in. And if enough people vote for who they believe in, then we're going to get somebody else other than, you know, just choosing the better of two evils.
Thank you, Megan, very much for the call. Thanks, everybody. You're an interesting audience. You really are. So I knew this would work, and thank you very much. Thanks to KP Whaley and Scotty Myers for whipping together a show for us, and thanks for calling. And the show we had scheduled for today will be down the road. Our guest, you don't even know who it was, or you'll think, oh, I'm sorry I missed that. Well, we all missed it, but it'll be on down the road, whatever it is. Thanks for listening. Great conversations ahead. Jeremy Scahill, one of our guests tomorrow. Always great to listen to.